I'm going to tell you, with this technology, you won't fight anybody because they're going to biologically control you. And I show in my research, you're no different than you taking your remote, you know, looking at your TV and changing the channels. You can speak to your remote and make it do whatever on the TV. They're going to do you the same way.
Welcome to the War Room. I'm Kyle. Thank you for joining me on The Word at War. We're living in a moment where the masks are coming off. The Epstein files expose rot at the highest levels of governments and society. Transhumanism promises evolution while quietly erasing what it means to be human. Gender confusion is sold as freedom, while biblical truth itself is labeled as hate speech. Deception is no longer hidden, it's institutionalized. And just as Scripture warned, many are falling away, trading truth for comfort and light for darkness. Joining me to talk about these things is my friend, Dr. Joy Pugh, author of several books, including her latest, Beastmark, End of Days. And you can learn more about Joy over at her website, drjoywithane.com. Joy, thanks for joining
me. Hi, Kyle. Listen, I'm so excited. I was so excited getting back from church and thinking, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get it to be 9 o'clock. I just look forward to being on your show and us talking about a lot of things that are happening right now. And you just, well, all the things that you just said, including the name of your show, is like so apropos for the day that we are living in. Oh my gosh, I just can tell you that really all the new technology and everything that's going on and the fight that we already had before we had a lot of technology and all these new things that are going to be placed upon humanity, boy, are we looking at something that's going to be very, very serious, and it's coming very quickly. It's not something we've got to wait decades. You know, in the past, we had to wait a while before we could say we could be to the point of seeing an Antichrist and having a mark of the beast and that kind of thing, but we are there. We are there.
Yeah. That's for sure. And transparently, I won't get into details, but you and I literally just prayed before we hit record that, you know, we're going to come under increasing attack too. Everybody that's operating in our space that really has a heart for the Lord that's doing this thing is coming under increased attack. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, one of the things that I kind of, you know, highlighted in there, and this is becoming more and more of a conversation. I prayed about it before we got going. We have a lot of brothers and sisters that are being led astray and more by the day because they have such weak faith and they don't even know Scripture. They don't make it a point to know Scripture. We got a lot of Sunday checkbox Christians. As I've started to say more and more recently here, we got a lot of Christianity and not a lot of Christianity. And it's really sad to watch, and it's even starting to, you know, show up in our own families. But we've got a lot of things that are happening that it's never been more critical a time than now to have good discernment. And I just pray that, you know, we have that and we have to get folks on board with that. And we're just coming to a time where we're going to have to start, you know, really standing strong as the remnant and speaking more and more truth. And it's going to get hotter as we do. And I guess I say all that to lead up to, if you're listening to this and you're not really feeling much attack from the enemy, you might want to kind of evaluate life, to be honest with you. I don't mean to scare you, but I just mean to tell you that I didn't really face much attack by the enemy when I was just kind of doing the checkbox thing on Sunday, because I was among that group at one point in my life, sad to say, but, and why would he? You're already doing everything he needs. He's already got you off the path. So why would he continue to focus on you? So that's just the first thing that we're going to talk about. But yeah, there's just so much going on and more is coming. And you had kind of touched upon the AI thing. And what are some things that you're seeing on that front that just kind of give you pause?
I tell you, one of the biggest things is the fact that they've got that new Malt book that, you know,
clearly, my wife just found this.
Oh my gosh, I mean, it's telling you that the machines are actually talking to themselves. And, you know, you think about science fiction, and I grew up in a time where Star Trek was the big thing when I was growing up, you know, with Spock. But, you know, the things that we heard back in the day that we considered science fiction were really machines could talk to machines and whatever. We are living in that time now. And this is very serious because there's a lot of people that are involved in this technology that are pulling away from their jobs because of the fear that they're seeing that the technology is running rampant and they can't stop it. And, it, you know, it's no different than looking at the GMOs. Let's just go back a little bit. When we started changing what God meant for us to have here on this planet, you know, taking the seeds out of things, and you can't grow things without having patents and things of that nature. And then you started mixing tomatoes with cucumbers and making some weird thing. You know, when we started playing God with things, what we found out is a lot of the things that man has made and we are putting in our body that are things like our livers and kidneys, it can't assimilate it. You can't use it. And so we've seen the escalation of things of like cancer and heart attacks and all kinds of things that have come about because we have been thinking for quite some time now that we have the ability to make things better and change them in such a way that we don't have to worry about maybe what we think are bad things. But in, you know, when you change something, you set up another series of problems. So when I started doing research on all of that and was so concerned about how our bodies were actually handling the change up in our food, our water, and how we use pesticides and all that, and we began to see that there was changes in really how our DNA was reacting to it. I mean, it became a really concern in some of the first books that I was doing. And so now, looking at the technology that we've got, oh my gosh, when you've got things that you could put nanotechnology within our own bodies. I mean, if we can put the Library of Congress on the top of a pinhead, we can put any kind of little nano robots. And I remember when I used to talk about this, when I wrote that about in my first, some of my first books, people were like, oh, Joy, that's no way. And I'm like, yes, it is. And literally the scaffolding can be made inside your body because your body is just like a computer system. And the more that I studied the human body, and that's why one of the reasons that my latest book that I just did recently within the last year and a half, Be Smart, End of Days, Breaching the Pineal Gland. You know, I really had to do a lot of science and medical studies to really get a grasp of how our body is so much like the computers that we use every day. And the fact that our pineal gland is sitting right up here and it's actually a working organ, and that it's like a transponder and receiver like we have in like a quartz that we have in a transistor radio. When I started putting all that together and seeing how the body talks to itself, then what would be the greatest thing but to put these little nano robots inside of us and be able to control humans like a remote control on your TV? Well, by golly, yeah. Kyle, that's what's happening. And now that we've got this technology that can talk to itself,
yeah,
and start doing little weird things, and you start getting connected up to it, which we know the real big push is singularity, which is transhumanism, and that's connecting you to machinery, which I always will believe that that's what the 10 toes on Daniel's prophecy about the end of days, mixing the clay with the iron, is totally all about. Mm-hmm. And it also says in scripture, if the days are not cut short, no flesh will survive. Oh my gosh. Well, look where we are in this kind of technology. And literally, I can't answer all the questions that my Alexa, you know, can answer within seconds. I mean, some things I can outdo her, and I always say, oh, you're so dumb, when I find something that she doesn't know. You know, I'm like, they can do it so much faster. And now that you've got the ability to write a book, they can go where it would take me years to go through all of the stuff that was in the Library of Congress or whatever, if I was looking for a specific area and have to wait for months to get books back to just get something that I could get little pieces of information from. This can be done in rapid time because it can do it immediately and have that information back at you. And I tell you, when you see that the technology is scaring the people that have been the originators of it, oh my gosh, we better start waking up. But people are not. And this goes back, like what you just said, people are just watching it. They're in their churches. They're not really reading what scripture says. They don't get it. And the bad thing is they haven't read their Bibles. And that concerns me so much because when, like, we have like little Bible quizzes sometimes in some of the little churches that I go to. And, you know, some of the questions will be like, well, name the first book in the Bible and name the last book in the Bible.
Can't do it. Don't
even know that.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. I just panic when I hear that. So it's a scary situation.
Babies on the battlefield is what I say, too.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, we're in a war that we have been for a while. It's just kind of coming to the thing now where it's not covert anymore. It's overt. It's out there in the open. But we're in this war, and people don't even realize that it's happening, let alone prepared. I mean, like, when you can't even say what the bookends of the Bible are as far as books, I mean, that tells you where we are. And, like, we have an enemy where the occult, I mean, they believe, man. We've talked about this several times on the show before. They will literally conjure things, and they will do seances, and they will bring demons into this realm, and they will do these things because they believe. Right? They're much more equipped for spiritual warfare. Yeah. Right. I mean, faith. I mean, that's what we see, you know, from the New Testament, from Christ. It's if you have faith, then you can do all things. Right.
And
that can be,
that
can be targeted on the evil just as well as it can on the positive. Right. We see that all through scripture. I want to go back because you had mentioned Moltebook. And for anybody that is not familiar with this, just let me summarize this nightmare for you. My wife found this the other day. My wife is an amazing, like, ferret. She finds things like crazy, man. She is not an in front of the camera gal, but I tell you what, she is one of my best partners behind the camera because she will read me stuff that she finds, and I'm like, send that to me because I want to talk about it on the show. And so she found this nightmare. So just to let everybody know, so you have a ChatGPT, which is a conversational help me figure things out on the fly. But now we're getting into something called agents. So what an agent does is it actually has a specialized task that you can create this AI to do. And a lot of times it'll do multiple things for you. But what this is a social media site, Moltebook, for your AI agent to all these AI agents to get together and communicate with one another in a social media setting. So you literally go on there and you put your profile information in, and then you upload your AI agent to basically go play with the other AI agents. And they have this huge chat thread. I mean, like, this is insane. It is insane.
Well, it's
terrifying.
It's beyond our human capacity to do what they are doing within themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And what people need to understand, there is no human involved in what they're doing. In other words, it is machine to machine making information and data and determination of answers to questions and whatever. And once they do all of that, then they build on it. It's like when we go to school and we learn to read and then we learn to write and then we learn mathematics and then we have a better understanding of how things are put together. They're doing this in like seconds with each other.
Yeah,
it's not like it's taken forever to learn to do this. They are already being able to design whatever they want. And I tell you, I can honestly say we can't keep up with that. You know, I've studied stuff and I can answer questions pretty quickly on a lot of things, but you cannot compete against that. And I remember years ago, and you might have seen it too, that they had a computer that competed on Jeopardy back when Alex Trebek was on. And, you know, they had the best mind, supposedly, that had won the most Jeopardy money, you know, with capability. And it was amazing right then what that kind of computer system was able to process. We can't do that. I mean, when I saw that, I said, and this was long before we got to the point we are now, I knew right then we were in trouble because of the quickness and the data that's there. I mean, we have a lot of data in our brains, and I don't mean to make it sound like we're not whatever, because the fact that everything's working inside of us, from our cells dividing and blood running and heart beating and all that kind of stuff, we have a lot, going on, and our little brains are making sure all this stuff is happening and our DNA is talking to each other. But when you've got a machine doing it, they're not having to do all the other functions that our body has to do to maintain our homeostatic, environment within ourselves. they are literally immediately just building and building and building and building. And I tell you, they are really talking about a lot of these people that got involved in this are getting out of the companies because they see it coming, Kyle. They know that they have invented a dinosaur and there's no way to put the dinosaur down.
Yep, we got Jurassic Park for real.
Yes, yes.
Basically in computer form. There was somebody that just, I forget who it was on the news, but was it Chat? I think they left ChatGPT. They left the company that runs ChatGPT. I forget the name of the company off the top of my head. But they just left the other day because they felt like safety was becoming an afterthought as far as control. And there has been a couple times already that all of the major AI companies got together and actually tried to pause the AI because it was getting so far ahead so fast that they couldn't kind of, you know, rein it in.
Put parameters around
it. It's getting away from
it. That's right.
Yeah. But another thing
no
I thought
parameter.
Of, when you were telling that story about Jeopardy, it made me think of another one. You'll remember this. And I'll just read this because it was a 1997 showdown between IBM's Deep Blue computer system, which defeated world champion Gary Kasparov, the chess champion.
Do you remember this? The chess champion. I remember that. I remember that as well.
Yep.
You know, defeated and look how far we've come.
Yeah, right. So nowadays, I'm like, he wouldn't have a chance, wouldn't stand a chance. There's no way, right? Because at that particular time, you know, it was considered AI with the beginning stages of AI. But, you know, it was limited because they could only program certain, you know, things into it. But now it's become so vast and it's starting to program itself because it can go to the internet and access things and learn. And now you've got Moltbook, which is getting them together where they can talk to one another and learn from one another, which is accelerating things. I can't even imagine the acceleration factor of what that's causing. So you want to talk about having things get away from you fast. I would think that would be a way to do it. So
kind of
terrifying.
When we had computers before the year 2000, you know, our software was locked into our system. And whatever we had in there was locked into it. And that's kind of what these things that we're talking about in the past were locked in. They had a parameter to them. But the moment that they tried to tell us that all our computers were going to crash, and I always believed that was all a setup.
The Y2K.
And then,
it
just brought everything to fruition as far as getting rid of the old and taking a step into the new. And they knew that if they put us on the World Wide Web, then we were all connected like this. And literally, it, like you say, the data and how fast it is processed. I mean, just look at our processing capability in the first computers that we had. And now what the data can be processed, and you have these huge beast systems. You know, people used to think that the Antichrist was going to be a beast system. It'll be something that we utilize by the Antichrist. But the thing about it is we never dreamed that we could, like I say, put the entire Library of Congress on a pinhead, I mean, of information. That is just mind-boggling when you really stop and think about it. And at the same time, that all those books that are there, whatever, like you're talking about, those agents are talking to one another, they're exchanging that data in, like, so fast. I mean, the data is just coming and going. And then they can produce a book probably, you know, in a day that might take you years to go and do what I used to do and go into, you know, all these different libraries and try to read the books myself and then take notes on it. Now it's just all their fingertips, I guess you would say, because the data is just being able to be exchanged so fast. And I can understand why people who are in that field of study and research, and if they are doing that kind of thing and it gets away from them, I mean, it's kind of like being a doctor. And, you know, you go into your doctor's office and he has the knowledge of how to, what to do. And so, you know, when I was a little girl, we might have had an x-ray machine in town, you know, things like that. But we didn't have all this stuff that we have today. So a doctor had to be kind of smart in his mind to be able to evaluate your symptoms or whatever. And then it seemed like the more technology we brought in, we went from like, okay, well, I think my finger's broke. Well, yeah, it's probably broken. The doctor could look at it and pretty much tell that your finger was broken. They would put you in a splint and send you home. Now, got to have an x-ray. Well, now we've got to have an x-ray, and then we got to have a CAT scan of it. But we might have to have an MRI, and maybe we should send you down and do a sonogram because we don't want you suing us because there may be a torn ligament in there. So what happened was instead of people using their minds and knowing whatever, they started relying on technology. And now that technology is taking us to a level that they don't need the doctor. Because the doctor's information is like no good.
We started to push over time because I watched it as, you know, when I first started in the working world, you know, I had insurance that was amazing. I didn't pay for anything. It was paid for by the company and it covered everything, right?
That's right.
So if I need to go to the doctor, I went and that was it. But over time, we have developed into what I call catastrophic healthcare. The only reason, the only time it's going to be beneficial to you is if you literally have something catastrophic happen. And it's all by design, because if you think about what the byproducts of that system that you just mentioned, it's going to grind everything down to a halt, because now instead of taking, you know, 15 minutes to evaluate you and wrap your finger and buddy tape it to the one next door and we walk out the door and we just think everything's going to be all right, and it probably will be. Now we do all these other things that just drives the cost through the moon, but it also drives the process, you know, as far as time through the moon too. So it drags everything down. And it's just a, it's just an insanely ridiculous system. But the other thing that I thought of when you were talking about how, you know, we were kind of discussing the AI thing and how quickly it spun away, I used to feel the same way. I mean, I still do in a lot of ways, like with nuclear power.
Yes.
You know, here you and I are having grown up in a time and seen a time where we had Three Mile Island, and then we had Chernobyl, and then we had Fukushima. And it was just so clear through that how fast, you know, things could get away from us, because we really didn't have a really good grasp of it like we thought we did, right? In our own hubris. This is a whole nother level.
It's like the oil spills in the Gulf and things like that, where we had oil rigs out there and they all spilled and we had major catastrophes. Yes, these things can get away from us. And I think that we're looking at something that can get away from us and we will never be able to recapture it. And I think that's probably why Scripture's warning, if you take that mark, you're going to end up in hell, because you have literally taken what was human and connected to God, our Heavenly Father who created us, and you have become something totally different than what you were created to be. And kind of like you think about Jacob and Esau. I mean, Esau sold his
birthright.
Inheritance. That's right. To Jacob for that partridge or for something to eat. And so the same thing. And Satan knows that, because he's going to promise all these great things. And so what are you willing to sell your soul for? I mean, what is your soul really worth? And in the day and age in which we're living, when you look at what Elon Musk has done with the Starlink satellites and the Neuralink that you're connecting to your brain, the data is already showing that the people who have this connection have a 6 times capability of faster thought processes in everything than the average person. And like I say, if you go down to get a job and everybody down there is connecting up to the beast system to be able to be a transhuman and be able to think like Alexa, then, you know, to be able to compete on a world stage and a job, people will be down there lining up, Kyle, to get this stuff and not realizing that what they're doing is like CRISPR technology. When I first started talking about that, and, you know, and how they were going to slice the DNA and change stuff and remodify humanity. And then, of course, when I started hearing, oh my gosh, the word transhumanism, it was back in, I think I wrote about it in my book, Eating the Knowledge of Good and Evil 666, Volume 1 and 2. And when I was talking about stuff like that, people were like, oh, Joy, that is like so far-fetched. And then now they're going, oh my gosh, how did you know this was coming? But the thing about it is once that we change who we are, the thing that this book, Be Smart, that I've done, it will show you that your DNA has a vibratory response and that every one of us is vibrating at a different song. In other words, your song might be Let It Be and mine might be Help or whatever by the Beatles, to use a different song. In other words, we're songs, but it's a different frequency is what I'm saying. So like the cell phone, you have a number and it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in a big football stadium and if your phone rings because somebody punched it in, your phone and nobody else's phone is in there, it's going to ring except your phone. The same thing with your DNA. Your frequency, once they get it, they can spot you follow you, know everything about you. It doesn't matter where you are. You're like your cell phone at this point in time. And that's where we went from looking at 5G, taking care of all the things around us, to this now 6G that I truly believe is going to connect them to you and to your DNA. And there's nowhere to get away from them. Because what happens is, like I mentioned about this pineal gland, and all the research that's been done is being done, and if you can get your hands on it, it literally is telling you that we can talk to you in your mind without you hearing it in your ears. In other words, that is being beamed to you just like you got your cell phone. You can't see. I mean, we say hello, it's coming out of the cell phone. You don't see the waves that are coming in there doing that. They're going to do your head the same way. So they go, hey, Joy, I see you're trying to run away and you're on Highway 125 and we've got a roadblock right down here. There's no place for you to run, no place for you to go. We have your number. Mm-hmm. And after I saw what happened with the Venezuelan thing where they were hit by some kind of force.
Yep.
It made their noses bleed. It made them vomit. They had just a couple little soldiers come out. They're shooting them all down. I mean, they were fighting against something that the human body biologically could not fight against. And so when I started talking about this back in my other books that I had beguiled, Eden to Armageddon, I mean, I was already trying to tell people it will come down. I mean, people would tell me all the time because the South has always been, because I live in the South, you know, the South's going to rise.
She lives in the South.
Yeah, the South is going to rise again. I actually had somebody tell me that I reminded them of Dolly Parton the other day. I got tickled. I wish I had her money and I could sing as good as she does. But anyway, we were always saying the South would rise again. And so, because in the South, we hunt a lot. So we all have guns and all kinds of stuff. And people would always say, well, if they try to do whatever, the South will always fight, that kind of thing. And I always said, what they're going to develop is that they will get you without ever having to fire a shot. And they would be like, what do you mean? And I'm like, back when I studied about Jose Delgado in the 1960s with the CIA going after the Russian embassy, being able to like particle beam stuff at people that you couldn't feel and it was making them sick. I mean, the Havana syndrome, we know about that and all the other different places where people get nauseated and they get dizzy and they pass out and their heart rate goes 100 miles an hour and they feel anxious and paranoid.
It leaves them with permanent brain damage, by the way.
That's right. Now, if that happens to you, you know, if you're on the floor vomiting blood like the Venezuelan people did, tell me how you're going to stand up and get your, you know, machine gun. I don't care what you got, you know.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
No.
You're sick as a dog. You're laying on the floor. They walk in and with the ability of the 6G, they just freeze you in place. You can't do anything. They'll walk in and take everything you've got, whatever they need, they will have you. I mean, it's not a place that you can fight the enemy. And I've always said, the rapture, if there is a boat out of here before this great wrath comes down, I hope we get to get out of here, because I'm going to tell you, with the technology that I'm seeing, when people say they can fight the Antichrist, and I know the Left Behind series, you know, people got left behind and they band together and they fought the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you, with this technology, you won't fight anybody because they're going to biologically control you.
That's right.
And I show in my research, you're no different than you taking your remote, you know, looking at your TV and changing the channels. You can speak to your remote and make it do whatever on the TV. They're going to do you the same way. And when you connect up to that transhumanism and you've got that connect coming from your brain back up to a satellite and back and forth like an Alexa, you are robotic. I don't care what they promise about putting your mind and who you are and living forever and keeping you alive. And they can keep flesh alive. I mean, that's not a problem. I started talking about that back in my book, Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. You can keep flesh alive forever in a Petri dish. In fact, pieces of the first cancer they ever took out of a woman is still alive in Petri dishes. You can just keep feeding it the right proteins to keep it alive. So taking and putting it on a frame of metal and then downloading your memories and whatever, that is not what God intended humanity to be. And I truly believe that is why it says, if he does not cut those days short, no flesh will survive this.
Yeah, I want to read this article to talk about what you had just mentioned about when we went into Venezuela. This is from the New York Post. And just to put this in perspective of what you're going to be hearing here, 47 Venezuelan soldiers died and 32 Cubans, because the Cubans were helping to guard Maduro. All total, there were deaths over 80. We lost no one. Okay.
Right.
And I want to read this account that's pretty short. The U.S. used a powerful mystery weapon that brought Venezuelan soldiers to their knees, bleeding through the nose, quote unquote, and vomiting blood during a daring raid to capture dictator Nicolas Maduro, according to an eyewitness account that was posted on Saturday on X by the White House press secretary. So I want to make sure that I make this clear.
That's right.
This was verified via the White House press secretary. So this isn't just some, you know, crazy outlandish theory here. In a jaw-dropping interview, the guard described how American forces wiped out hundreds of fighters without losing a single soldier, using technology unlike anything he has ever seen or heard. And this is a quote from this particular guard. "We were on guard, but suddenly all our radar systems shut down without any explanation." I'm going to pause there, because one of the guys that I go to church with actually was part of the group that was helping to set this up. The guard, so I have confirmation myself personally.
Yes.
The guard said the next thing that we saw were drones, a lot of drones, flying over our positions. We didn't know how to react. Moments later, a handful of helicopters appeared, barely eight, meaning helicopters, so eight helicopters by his count, deploying what he estimated were just 20 U.S. troops into the area. But those few men, he said, came armed with something far more powerful than guns. They were technologically very advanced, the guard recalled. They didn't look like anything we've fought against before. What ensued, he said, was not a battle, but a slaughter.
Right.
And then again, we go back into quotes here. "We were hundreds, but we had no chance," he said. "They were shooting us with such precision and speed, it felt like each soldier was firing 300 rounds per minute."
That's right.
Then came the weapon that still haunts him. "At one point, they launched something. I don't know how to describe it," he said. "It was like a very intense sound wave. Suddenly, I felt like my head was exploding from the inside. The effects were immediate and horrific. We all started bleeding from the nose," he said. "Some were vomiting blood. We fell to the ground, unable to move. We couldn't even stand up after that sonic weapon or whatever it was." Now, this was verified by the White House press secretary. So the White
That's
House
right.
itself.
Not so conspiracy.
Not conspiracy. By the way, just for funsies, you would get a kick out of this. I just actually came out with a sweatshirt that says conspiracy theories are just future facts. So
it's true. And it is.
That's very true, right? Is it not,
my
sister?
Work has been that, proved that for a number of years
exactly.
now.
Exactly. And here you are, right?
Conspiracy, and here it is. Exactly
so
what we said.
Yeah, there's a couple things in there that one we've already talked about, which is they're using weapons. And I personally think that they use that operation as a testbed for technology that we hadn't had a chance to deploy yet. If you're listening to or watching this, you are not meant to walk the battlefield alone. Join the War Room, the community hub for the show, and you'll get access to additional teaching, weekly prayer calls, and a place to grow with other believers who are awakening to the spiritual war around us. Check the description for the link, and I look forward to seeing you in the War Room.
You know, Kyle, the thing about it is, when I've done this research for so many years, I've always watched for when it's going to start. And I have a friend that helps me with research, and she's really good at it. She's always like, "Your wife sending me things, and look at this," and I can trust that she's done some research on it. But when things would happen, and I would say, "You know, I want you to pay attention to this one thing, because I think this is the test. And from here, we're going to go into these other things," and it never fails. And I'm like you. I fully believe that Venezuelan thing was the testing of the 6G to see how effective it would be. And at the same time, put the world on notice.
Yeah. The other thing that was in there, too, that stood out to me is I don't think that we had, you know, it's hard to say for certain, but you could definitely, what was alluded to in there was that these may have been genetically enhanced super soldiers.
And there's a possibility of that because, you know, in scripture, it tells you that about the abyss open up and something comes out with stingers in their tails and that people want to die and they cannot die. So you're already looking at something. And we listen, years and years ago, I started looking at some research about how the telomeres on the on our chromosomes, how they shorten, and they were trying to find what they call the God particle. You know, they had CERN involved in it, trying to figure out how do we keep things from not, but you know, going away. I mean, there are same things, for example, like an earthworm, you break him in half, he can grow again. There's certain things in our body, like our liver, that we can cut it down to a little piece, it'll grow back. So they've been working, and like I said, back when I was studying the secret societies and they were looking at how do we keep flesh alive, they were literally starting to do things like that. I'm talking about in the 1800s. And I know when I first started talking about cloning, people were like, oh, that's not that, you know, conspiracy. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. And when you start looking at it, they were already doing frogs, cloning frogs in the 1800s. Okay, that was known. And when we know black budgets, if you know something about something, this has been going on a long, long time. So this is not something that they just developed yesterday. It's something that they've been working on, trying to get us to the point of this transhumanism, because now we are hearing this all the time. When somebody, if you pay attention, fourth industrial revolution, this is the fourth industrial revolution. We are heading into the golden age of humanity. The sustainability goals and objectives, all this stuff with the World Health Organization, you know, put everything on our, on these cards, our IDs, make it our health known about everything. They're getting it to the point that with all this technology, they know everything. They literally almost thinking for you. That's because if I, for example, if I know something enough about somebody, I can pretty well guess what kind of thing they're going to do. It's kind of like people that read palms and things like that. If you palm readers, a lot of them, they'll talk to the person and they get the information and then they repeat back. What they've said. And of course, in counseling, we would have people come in and they would be so distraught and you would sit there and listen it to them. And then you would repeat back to them what they said. And all of a sudden you could almost feel like they understood it. And now they were okay. They walked out healed and they thought you did something, but it was like you were repeating the information back. So with all of this, look at how if you go, let's just say Walmart, it can tell me everything I bought. If I bought in Amazon, it can tell me everything I bought. How many times did I buy it? So, you know, they're figuring out, okay, she needs this every week. She does this every day. If you got GPS or whatever, and if you got anything on your phone, it can tell you if I rode the motorcycle, how many miles this month. If I rode a bicycle so many miles this month, if I was in a car so many miles, where did I travel to? Was I a person that was going back and forth to church? You know, it's logging everything about you. And of course, me and you being on this kind of thing, they're understanding exactly what we think and know about, because it's logging these things, these algorithms, all this stuff is picking it up. And I know it really was kind of scary back when we had the plague and the pandemic, and I had made a comment about something that was very, very true that now is very proven to be true, what I said. But within like 20 minutes, the show went down, and then they were penalized for 6 months because of what I said, which was the truth. But it was like they did not want that information out there. So, yes, and just look how much further along we are now. Because we now have these people, I mean, these machines talking to one another, and they're building these databases. So, yes, they could literally, and we see it with AI. You can, I'll never forget, somebody sent me this thing, and they had Donald Trump singing, and then his son was singing, and all this. And they were like, we didn't know he could sing like that. And I will never forget sitting there going, you can't tell it that that's fake. So, if you didn't know any better, you would believe that lie. And so now when I do research, I'm so scared because it'll look so real and it's nothing but a bunch of lies.
Yeah. I think that there's a, you know, this gets into a whole other thing. Maybe we'll probably circle back to it, but like, let's say Jeffrey Epstein didn't die. Right. And he's still alive.
And you see the pictures of him everywhere on Facebook.
But then it's so easy for people to go, well, that's just AI. That's been an AI generated thing. So now we've arrived at a point where you don't even know, because it could be real, but the AI is so convincing that you could go, well, yeah, that makes sense. It could be. And that's scary. We'll come back to that later if we have time. We'll see where the conversation leads. But as you've been talking, I've been jotting down things, pulling things up on the computer because there's so many things, right? But one of the things that I pulled up.
We could talk about everything.
Oh, sister, so much we could make this a 24-hour nonstop run for days on end. But one of the things I pulled up, in case anybody's not familiar with this, first of all, anybody that's hip to the game at all knows that the world is owned by really three companies that we know of. And that's BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, BlackRock being the top of the pyramid. But they have, and this just goes to show you that what Joy just said about every single thing that we do, everything that you do, everything you say. I think, too, that somehow they are actually testing technology. And I know this really gets into the crazy conspiracy theories, but how many of you can say that this has happened to you? I think that they are now starting to test things that might actually be starting to read our minds in some way, because how many times have you not only said something where it showed up? We've almost gotten to the point where we know that's happening. That's like an afterthought now. But how many times have you not said anything but thought something and then it's magically showing up on like your Amazon suggestion or something like that?
Yes. In fact, my best friend and I were talking about that. She says, isn't that funny that, and we were just talking on the telephone and we were talking about something. And she says, isn't that funny that when I went back to my phone, the advertisement for everything that we were talking about showed up on Amazon or what, or whatever. And I'm kind of like, yes, I do think that your patterns, and once you understand that we are nothing but sound, light, and frequency. And I keep telling people when I do these radio shows or podcasts and everything, remember these three things: sound, light, and frequency, because everything is made out of that. And I remember back when I was talking about Einstein, when he said unified field theory, and I was talking about them, people were like, well, what does that mean? And I said, because everything is connected. And the more research I would do in physics and all these different, you know, things, sciences and history or whatever, you could find patterns and they would all connect. Well, the same thing is happening with all of this information. It's all connecting itself. And now that we've got the technology to bring it all together, you cannot run, you cannot hide. There is nowhere to get away from it. And if somebody says that it's not real, you're just sticking your head in the sand and going, it's not real, and not looking at what really is going on. Because a long time ago, they kept us.
That's right.
Well, they kept it out of the mainstream because they could call us conspiracy theorists and make fun of us. And Lord, I have been laughed at many, many times, just even talking about the unidentified aerial phenomena that we have now got some of the major people in our government up there with our congressmen going, look, we cannot defend America against this technology.
Yeah. And yet we are, by the way, we are like so close to disclosure. It's not even funny. I mean, like it's going to happen very soon.
And it has to, Kyle, because they can't keep hiding it from us. Now that we have like cameras that have certain pixels, I mean, people can shoot a picture in the sky where our naked eye, because we're so limited with the level of light that we can see, and we can tell from that because we have to need a telescope to see way off, or we need a microscope to see small things. But these pixels are picking up stuff that they cannot hide and continue to hide from us. And it's like one of the guys said, he said, this stuff is not human. And it was not even broadcast all over the world that somebody is now saying that something's here with us that's not human, but it's actually smarter than we are.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That should have been national news and plastered on every news station, and nothing was said. If you didn't watch the congressional hearings, which I love to watch because I've been involved in this from the first time when I was 8 years old and I saw my first real UFO with my dad, I've always known that stuff was real because I lived in a little area where there were no planes in the sky, and I clearly saw what I saw, and he literally was a pilot of a plane. And he himself was like, what is this at night? Like this flying across the sky, you know. So I really pay attention to what's going on with that because I've seen too many of these things in my lifetime to know that what's up there is something that's far more capable of attacking, controlling, doing whatever it wants to do. I mean, when it can shut down our missile sites and do all the things that it's done, and we have the top minds standing up, you know, in the Congress, and they're saying, oh, I got to go in a skiff. I can't do that because I'm getting threatened and people are trying to kill my family.
Yeah.
I just tell you, they're going to have to reveal it because once we got to the capability of infrared and ultraviolet light that you and I can go get something to utilize, they can't hide that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And the guy said it's increasing daily. There's so much of it. It's all over the world because every country has its own task force. If it was not real, why are they doing that?
Yep. It's sound, light, and frequency. It makes total sense because if you think about it, every single thing the enemy does is always a counterfeit of what God does.
Exactly.
And we can see that how everything was created was through those three things.
That's right.
You know, and that's why a lot of the things in the Bible, you know, like when you go read Ephesians 6 and it talks about the armor of God, there's a reason that every single thing in there is mentioned specifically. You know, the helmet to protect you is not only your virtue and your righteousness, but it's also to protect you from the attack of the enemy. Because they what's happened is the enemy does not have the ability to operate like God can because he doesn't have the power to do that. So what's had to have happened is he's trying to create the technology to artificially do what God can do. And that's exactly what we are seeing happening. And so, and just going back to this, because I just want to show this for anybody that is not familiar about how they're tracking everything we're doing. So I talked about BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, with BlackRock being the tip of the pyramid a minute ago. But BlackRock has a database, a gigantic database, okay, that all it does is to gather information, right? So the vast majority of what we're probably, you know, having tracked is going into this database. And they call it Aladdin, which stands for Asset Liability Debt Derivative Investment Network, right? Supposedly just for investing, quote unquote, in finance. But as of 2020, so 6 years ago now, this particular system had $21.6 trillion worth of assets getting dumped into it. As far as the companies that were pouring into this gigantic database, all totaled $21.6 trillion in value between all these different companies. And that was 6 years ago, and it was growing astronomically. So I can only imagine what that is at now. So, and that's just one spot, right? This is happening all over the place.
Well, you know, so BlackRock was the one that acquired, what's the name of the, where people were given their DNA, 23andMe or something like that?
Yeah, I heard somebody
talking about. Yes, they bought into that.
I would encourage anybody to go play the Who Owns Who game, by the way, because if you go look at your company that whoever you like to use, if you go dive in far enough, if they are any size whatsoever, if they have any value to them whatsoever, they will be owned by, and when you get down to it at the end of the day, they will be owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Now, owned is a relatively funky term. They're controlled by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard because these three companies have learned that you do not have to have 51% controlling interest in any company to be able to control the company. If you have the majority controlling interest, meaning if I have 25% of the company and everybody else combined together has 75, my 25% counts for enough that I can destroy you if I want to, because no company would be able to lose 25% of itself in order to survive, more than likely.
Right.
So what they do is they get enough shares of the company where they can basically dictate to the company what they want them to do. Hence the whole diversity, inclusion, and belonging and all this junk we had earlier, social scores, all this junk that we had going on. That was pushed by the World Economic Forum.
That's
and BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard were the ones that were on the forefront of pushing that in. Your social score as a company was becoming even more important than your credit score.
That's correct.
So if you did not score high enough, you could have the best credit score in the world by the, you know, different rating agencies. But if you went and you wanted to get a loan, if your social score was junk, you weren't going to get a loan. Now they've backed down on that because it didn't work like they'd hoped, or they're just ramping, you know, they tested it and now they're pulling it back to figure out what's next.
See, that's
the
same thing.
But they're doing all these things.
Yes, that's the same thing, you know, with the digital currency. All that's been out there so far is just playing the game to see what have they got to do to make it work. And, you know, now that we have the stable coin and we have it FDIC backed, kind of like a dollar, you're not going to have the problems because, you know, in our country right now, they're pushing to go into those stable coins and to do business through all of that. And they're going to establish it. But when they first start on all this, it's to get it out there, to get the kinks out of it. And we've seen that with even the plagues and the pestilences in the past. Put it out there, do these kind of things, see if it works, get people to believe in it. How far will they go to believe it? Those kinds of things. It's all test runs. And they're learning as they do it how to get you even more and more corralled to control us all.
Yeah, I would never, I don't think, I've never dug into it, but I would be willing to bet you, knowing what we know now, looking back through the lens backwards, I would be willing to bet you high amounts of dollars that like AIDS and HIV was actually released on purpose. Or accidentally released or something. It was not something that was just naturally created. That was experiment.
I think I mentioned that in my book, Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil, that those things that they developed down in those third world countries, that they knew that green monkey virus was a problem. And I will always believe that was put in there to do nothing but target those people that they felt like the whole thing has been to reduce the population of planet Earth. And
that's
so
right.
The babies being born, they sterilized a bunch of women during that time. They gave them shots that was supposed to help them. I think it was for typhoid fever. It's been a long time since I pulled that information back up. But in other words, they were made to believe if I take this shot, it's going to keep me from having something else. Okay. And what happened was it sterilized all those third kind of world country women to keep them from having babies, because we are at a point now, as we know from the World Economic Forum and the push for the 2030 sustainability goals and objectives, and trying to make these companies like you're talking about have to meet those goals and objectives. And you could even see that change up on Amazon. Is this person meeting sustainability, whatever? And it would tell you that they're a member of sustainability. Well, if you want to be able to, let's say, like you say, get a good score and have your company stay up there, they're going to go along with it because the powers that be, those companies particularly that you're talking about, are pulling the reins to make it all happen. It's clearly being done. And the more you study it, you see how it all lines itself up for control, a new world order.
That's right. It's so funny how God works, because as we're having this conversation where it's going, it ties into a conversation I had earlier today. And you and I truly, I mean, we kind of had a rough idea of what we were going to talk about just because, you know, the world's nuts. So we're going to wind up in some of these realms without any doubt. But I had this conversation at church with a lady, a friend of mine, after church for a while earlier today. It was a great conversation. But she works at a very prestigious university here where I'm at. And she was talking to me, sharing with me some of the stories about some of her students. And these are college kids at a prestigious university, okay? It's just keep that in mind. But we were talking about how the younger generation just can't think for themselves.
They can't.
Not all. I just want to, before anybody gets all upset, I'm not speaking in you know, completes, because there's no such thing as 100% across the board and rarely anything, okay? But it is a generational problem, okay, with the majority of them. And she was telling me how little ability to function on their own, problem solve, and have common sense that they have. And she was talking and telling me this story about working with one of the students. And the conversation was like a conversation you would have with a 5-year-old. And this is a 19-year-old college student at a prestigious university. And mm-hmm. she had literally circled on the paper that anytime it says this, you need to do this. And so she circled a couple of those words as examples. So this student came back later and handed the paper in, and they had completed the front. And then she flipped it over and she's like, you didn't do the back. And the student went, well, you didn't circle those. And it was like, oh my gosh, I told you anytime it says this. So that is how dumbed down that things have gotten with these guys.
Well, I saw this when I was young with my grandmother. She would be able to add and subtract, multiply, divide, do percentages and everything in her head. If we were in a store and it said so much off, minus this, you know, $5 this, whatever. And I would be sitting there trying to figure it out in my head. And I would be like, I need my calculator because we got so used to using calculators. She could do it in her head because they didn't have that. And then like with spell check, I find myself going, what, how do I spell that? Because I don't sit and spell words like we used to. We don't go to the dictionary and look them up. It automatically, whatever. We don't memorize telephone numbers like we
that's huge,
are used to. So we're not memorizing lengths of numbers. And so when you start and look at some of the things that I looked at as far as these games that kids are playing, and they're sitting there all day doing their hands, and they're being indoctrinated with sound, light, and frequency, because all those games have got sound, light, and frequency, and they're dumbing them down because they're just using whatever, and they're not really thinking. When you and I were growing up and we had to go outside to play, we went out there and we played like we were cowboys and Indians, and we made up story and
used our imagination.
We devised and built our little guns and what. This stuff does not give any leeway for you to be an individual or to have an imagination and build on it. And it literally, the more you think, it would make them smarter. But now it's like, how can I get AI to help me? And when people started going to college, when we had the pandemic, and they were getting their big medical degrees, and they were taking tests, really? On a computer? How did they know that they weren't like, the book was open to the side and the answers were right there?
Yeah.
I mean, they were not having to memorize it and spit it back in a time situation in front of a teacher or whatever, that you and I had to get all this stuff in our heads and then be able to assimilate it. They didn't have to do anything like that. So yes, what you're saying is why we're seeing that, and their ability to have relationships with people. What has technology done? If you go in a restaurant, the man, the wife, the children, they're all working and doing little things on their phones. Nobody is sitting down at a dinner table like I grew up, where the adults were talking and you learned from that. Even in your churches, they take them to children's church and they're not even in there with adults. They're out playing basketball and doing Awana stuff. And then when it comes time to come into church, well, they just don't want to come to that. I mean, we are at fault. We have thought technology would make it better. But society is not as good as it was when I was young, when everybody was having to stand out there and hand wash clothes, put them out on a place to dry them, bring them in and iron them. And it took all day long. You had to go in the kitchen. You had to make your food. You didn't go down to Walmart and buy it and bring it home. But I will tell you that the people back then, without all this technology, were literally smarter.
Amen,
more
sister.
Common sense, ability to come up with whatever, and here we are. And I honestly say that's why we have all these rots in these colleges. They don't have the brain to really get that in perspective.
No, they have no.
Because it's been done down.
Yeah, they have no ability to educate themselves on the topic at hand. So they just get, and they're so desperate for identity because they are so mentally lost that they will just gravitate to anything to feel special. And there's so much that goes into this, but I just, you made me think of so many things. I wanted to, as your Star Trek fan, did you ever watch The Next Generation? Did you watch
that? I didn't like that as good. I didn't like that as much as I did the original, because Spock and
Shatner
was
my
favorite.
There was one episode, though, that I remember, and it's one of the most popular Next Generation episodes that they came out with, and it was called The Game.
Oh.
And what it was, do you remember this at all?
No, but I can imagine by you just saying The Game, what
so
they were doing.
What it was a game that one of the characters brought, and he got so addicted to it, and then the crew all got addicted to it, and it was basically created, I think the plot point was it was created by their enemy in order to get them so unfocused that they could be attacked and taken over. And I was like, oh my gosh, you want to talk about foreshadowing of like what we're talking about today? Because it's exactly
it's
what
like
you're
the
talking
Trojan
about.
Horse. It's like the Trojan
exactly.
horse.
That's exactly
in the
what
Odyssey,
it is.
Literally.
That is exactly what it is. And so it made me think of that, and it made me think of a couple other things, because all of the conversation that we're having right now, this college student and what Joy is saying and the Star Trek and all these things, it all is starting to make sense to me, because I really was like, what are they doing? What's the end game here? And here, I think I've pretty much got it figured out as far as what they're going to do. And there are a few things that I just want to touch upon really quick here. So we've already talked about, you know, a lot of things that, you know, over the last few minutes about how this generation struggles to think for themselves. And then earlier we talked about how we can now fit all of this information in the size of a pinhead, right? And we've got Neuralink and we have all of these things. When you have an entire group of people who can't think for themselves, and by the way, just what Joy said a second ago too, I've actually said recently in the show a couple times, if you were to take these cell phones, right, and you took them back to our founding fathers and you showed them what we had access to, they would be amazed and they would think, you have to be the smartest people ever. And we would I would look at them and go, no, we're dumber than we ever have been.
That's right.
So if that is the path that we're on, how do we think it's going to magically change when we continue and put this thing in our head? So that is what's going to happen to this generation, because they're not going to have any skills to be able to survive on their own. So they're going to be chipped, and it's going to create like a hive mind. They're going to do this to be able to have access to the information. That way they don't even have to monkey with a phone anymore and struggle to get it with a few types of their fingers. They're going to have it in their head, and they're going to be a hive mind, and they are already working on something. I've talked about this a few times on the show, but it fits the conversation. So I'm going to bring it up again. And if you haven't heard this, you need to go look it up, which is Final Spark. Are you familiar with this, Joy?
No, okay. But I call it a collective universal consciousness is what I called it in my book, Be Smart, because it's taking you back to the Tower of Babel where you're all connected together.
That's right. That's a gigantic hive mind.
It is.
That's right. So Final Spark, for those of you who don't know, is a Switzerland-based company. That shouldn't shock you, because everything evil happens in Switzerland. Just go look if you don't think that's true. Okay. What these people are actually doing is they have I'm looking at the website right now. Okay. It says digital processor, and then has a gigantic arrow pointing to a cell. Okay. And it says bioprocessor. AI growth will be enhanced with no energy restrictions, because one of the things that's happening right now in America, and I guarantee you it's happening around the world, they are building these gigantic data centers. That's the huge thing that's happening everywhere, right? And it's taking all the water, it's taking all the power, and it's taking all these things. So they are going to have to use humans for compute power. And that is exactly what Final Spark is designed to do. And Joy just touched on this a second ago. They are actually creating lab-grown brains.
That's right.
And they hit it with dopamine. When they teach it, they hit it with dopamine, just like you would a brain, in order to give it positive reinforcement. And to get, when it does something they don't like, they hit it with an electroshock, just like you would do to a psych ward back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when it does something they don't like. And so what's going to happen is they are going to evolve this to the point where we become their biocompute, their bioprocessor, and we tap in, and that is how we're going to get paid.
Exactly.
So you won't have a traditional job like you think, because it's all going to be taken over by AI. But what you be used for, just like the Matrix, is bioprocessing power. That's right.
That's right.
Because we do emit power.
Yeah, see, a lot of people don't, and that was one thing when I did this Beast Mark, I wanted people to understand, we're all electrical, and that's why when your heart quits beating, they put the electrical paddles on you. That's what keeps you. It's sound, light, and frequency. It's what's making you run. And so our little biochips in our head that God designed that makes everything work, it's all communicating to everything, every cell, every blood, everything in our body is communicating through sound, light, and frequency. And so if they can connect that up and use us for that process, then you become a walking part of the beehive with mind. And that was the big thing that the secret societies always taught about, that the Camelot and the future of the societies would like the triangle on the outside of the backside of our dollar bill. I mean, it's got the all C and I, which is right here, all C and I. And then got that beehive, when we all know that if you've got a queen bee or a queen ant, that she's actually vibrating frequency to the other worker ants and bees, and they do all the work for the hive to keep it together. They're all connected. So it's a universal collective consciousness. And the worst, really, I think, abomination that God did not like was that Tower of Babel. And what did he do? He changed the frequency, because when you change the language capabilities, like French and German or whatever, they couldn't speak to each other. They couldn't understand each other because the frequency was not like the English language. He changed the way it sounded. Nobody was talking and it fell apart. So, you know, what would Satan want to do but go back and say, we can do this and we can be gods? And that's what he's making people believe, that, because he is making the people, Elon Musk is making the people who have already agreed to have these little chips like Neuralink and connected to Starlink. Like I say, they're 6 times smarter than the average bear. And he's already saying how many more people he's going to have connected to the system. And as you said, what they're going to do, they'll probably create some kind of crisis and say, look, if you want to move into the fourth industrial revolution, if you want to be a part of the golden age of humanity, this is a total reset of humanity. You can either go with us or there's a guillotine, but you've got a choice, because if you don't go with us, then you are a menace to us. And the way they can force it, once they put money into cyberspace, you can't buy silver trade. And I don't care how much silver you got and how much gold you've got, you can't eat it. And people are just not thinking about when the system breaks down. And just look at the truckers, what they ran into fighting against in Canada. When you can't get your money, oh my goodness, then they tell you, well, do you want your Social Security check? Do you want your retirement checks? Do you want, you know, milk for your baby? They're going to push you to the point that either you do it our way, or if you want to do it your way and you have that choice, because it's, you know, the mark of the beast will never be pushed. I mean, you won't be held down and put, it won't be put on you, held down, put down on you. It is your choice. Yep. So they'll
pressure
give you the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll give you the choice. You want to do it or you don't do it. But if you're going to go in this direction, this is the only way to go. And if you don't want to go, then of course you go out there and get your head cut off right there at the guillotine. And most people are going to go stupidly, because they don't know the story, right up there and get connected up, chop up who they are, because God, he hears everything. He knows even the number of hairs on our head, because it's all sound, light, and frequency. It's all vibrate. So it's like God has connections to all of us. He knows my song is Joy's song. He knows Kyle's song is Kyle's song. He knows when we're down, when we're depressed, because we're giving off frequencies that tell him, well, they're doing good or not doing good, or they're doing bad, they got bad thoughts. I mean, even water does that. And I think, I don't know if I mentioned that on your show, but I'm sure you know about that, where the Japanese people took and they did the water and they talked very sweet things to water.
Ice cubes, yeah.
And they froze it. And then they took the same kind of water and they talked bad things and they froze it. And when they took them out and looked them under a microscope, the ones that they had spoken really good things to had like beautiful crystals that you see like in beautiful mathematically correct snowflakes. But the problem was the bad talk, the evil talk, it was jagged and just like awful looking. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason to it. So if water is affected by this, and our bodies are made up of so much water, I mean, we're almost 90% water. Some people say it's not quite that much, but still, whatever you listen to, whatever you put your mind on, if you're thinking negative thoughts, don't tell me the creator wouldn't be able to know that, because he is the great conductor of everything he created. And if I'm a conductor of an orchestra and the violin over here on number 5 violin breaks a string, what happens to that violin? It doesn't sound in harmony. So I'm going to know 5th person over there just broke, you know, a string on that violin. God knows that, and so does Satan, because they said that he was, you know, the praise and worship guy up there, Lucifer. He's very aware. He's a covering cherub. So if we get down and whatever, boy, do the enemy come after us, and they'll keep going after us and going after us, like we were talking about earlier when we came on the show. Satan is very conscientious of what we do, what we think, how we're doing, whatever. And you think sometimes, well, why is it when something starts, you know, you'll drop something in the kitchen? Okay, that's got you behind doing whatever you need to be doing. So you get a little frustrated. And then you step back, you step on the cat's tail, and they go screaming, and you're all upset, and your nerves are now like this. And the kids start screaming, and they're going out the door, and they're leaving the door open, and everything just keeps going on. It's amazing. Once he can get you in that cycle, he will get you to the point of literally almost going, blaming God for it.
Yep.
Most people will not use Satan's name in vain. You know what I'm saying? They'll use God's name in vain for something Satan was absolutely doing to them. And he was using your own thought processes, which are sound, light, and frequency. He can tell all of that. He can feel that. It's very serious. And demons are real. They can, you know, they know. And it's like, when we think about in scripture, when the demon that was involved in the graveyard, when he came out to, you know, toward Jesus, Jesus actually said, you know, what's your name? He said, Legion. 2,000 things inside of a being. I mean, you know, that's really bad. And some people, they get over that kind of stuff. They sweep out all the demonic things and presences in their life. But if they don't stay true, that demon is looking to come back to somebody. And when he comes back, he's going to bring 7 more with him. And then if you keep doing this, bring 7 more and 7 more and 7 more. And that's why you see people who drink and they finally quit drinking and they do so well. But then if they start back, it's just twice or 10 times harder for them to stop smoking.
That's right.
Even drugs, alcohol, sexual abuse. I mean, it once you get it out of your system, and you change your ways, but if you ever open it back up to that door, the next time getting away from that is worse and worse and worse and worse. So the beings are real that are here with us, and Christ proved that because, you know, they ask him, can we go into the swine, which they went and drowned themselves. Well, if you saw the movie Nefarious, which was I think was a great movie.
Amazing.
It shows you they move from host to host to host. That, and to me,
right,
a person that doesn't understand demonic capability in our world like we live right now, they need to see that movie because it teaches
you
how they move from one host to the next. That when that movie ends, if you don't have chill bumps all over you, it just really, to me, it just hit the nail on the head about demonic activity and how they move.
Yeah. As a side note, the guy that played the main part in there of the demon, did he not do an amazing job? I mean,
he did. He did an excellent
job.
It
was so sad because you actually feel this guy's on death row, but he's on death row for because of the demon effectively had taken over and done the murders. And he's just like an innocent bystander. And you feel so sorry for this guy.
Yeah, and the little guy was named Edward, when he comes through, and he's like, I really wanted something to eat. Oh, gosh, you just wanted, you know, the guy wouldn't let him eat. And you know that he died. Edward died.
Yeah.
But Nefarious lived on.
The demon just lives on. That's the thing.
I don't know who in the world, and I've seen some things where they tried to, you know, when they started doing that movie, what they went through. Attack wise, when we were talking about being attacked because of what we do, from what I understand, those producers and the people that were involved in all of that were heavily attacked. But you can understand why, because they were revealing what you and I are talking about tonight and how real it is. And it's not conspiracy. This stuff is here with us and it wants to control us. And the biggest thing is to use humanity against the Creator God. And all he's after is everybody's soul, because he knows if you commit to him and you take that mark that scripture tells quite plainly that you have sold your inheritance for hell. I mean, really, you have. You've given up what you're in God's image. He didn't make any mistakes. And I know some people, they wish they had a straight nose or an ear that was longer or blue eyes instead of what. You know, there's certain things that we can do on this planet to kind of change up and do little things, but God didn't intend for us to be connected to metal like the clay and iron at the end of time. We literally are that generation that is clay and iron. And it's coming so fast because now, like we were talking about, those things are talking to themselves and they're going to manifest to the point that you cannot fight against it. There, in other words, no way out, no place to run.
Yeah, it's when you go look at the, and this is something that's not taught by the church. I was never taught this until I got in here and started, finally turned my life over and God was like, finally, I can use you. I've been waiting to use your brain. Thank you for giving it finally. And started revealing these things to me. And I learned about where a demon even comes from, because we're not taught about it in church normally. And what you can see is the reason that a demon exists is because it's the disembodied spirit of a dead Nephilim, which is what we can see in Genesis 6. For
that's
anybody
right.
That is not familiar, I'll hit this really fast. It is the mating that you see in Genesis 6 of a human woman and an angel. And the offspring is a
that's
Nephilim.
Right.
And because they were created outside of God's purview, they
that's right.
are bound to the earth and never allowed to. That's why they have to inhabit a body. So that is the essence of a demon. But the reason that they were bound to the earth is because, again, they were created outside of God's purview and he did not recognize them as part of his creation. And effectively, what it seems like is going to be when we finally go full transhuman and if you are the one that decides to take this mark, right, and you voluntarily do this, you're going to know what you're doing. You are right. Now stepping into a realm where you have decided to transcend yourself outside of God's creation. And that is why it's not going to be good for you, I would say. There's a very good likelihood of that. I think that's probably what we see in the case of Nimrod as well,
yes.
with some of the language, right? I mean, like he figured out a way, probably different than what we have now, different game, same outcome, to ritualistically perhaps become something different than what was originally designed. But we can clearly see here there was a change at some point. But, you know, this is coming. And I just want to put this in perspective for everybody because it's not that far off. I really don't feel like that. I think any of us that have researched this to any degree know that we don't have much time left. And it's not that we're not just speaking. I know there's been a lot of people in a lot of different generations that have said that before, but they are not looking at the hockey stick curve that we are, because there is no way,
right.
common sense wise, we can continue on this path that we are on and have 50 years. There's just no way. I don't know how.
Right.
There won't,
I
like
agree.
Christ said, if I didn't come back and intercede and interject myself, there would be no one left. And that is exactly
right.
where
no
we're
flesh.
Heading. No flesh left. And, you know, we can see this in so many different ways, but if you experienced COVID and you're listening to this and you are one of the ones that took the shot and you awakened to what happened to you and you realized you were lied to,
that's right.
I'm glad you are awake. Please make sure that other people around you are awake too, because we got people that are still getting booster shots, y'all.
Nice.
And that tells me when the mark comes, they're not even going to bat an eye because they are fully invested. They're going to do it. And that experience was exactly
it was probably the dry
what we
runs.
Are going to experience again. Exactly. And if you think that was on the difficulty scale of 10, that was maybe a 2. This
that's
will
right.
be a 10. Because
no
it's
run.
Not going to be, you might lose your job and you might be inconvenienced a little bit in your life and you might be even socially outcast a little bit and shamed. This will be, we're going to line up your children and cut their heads off. We're going to do this to your spouse.
Whole different ballgame.
We're going to do this to you. That is what is going to happen. So we're going to go from a 2 difficulty to a 10. Are you ready for that? Hey, warriors, if you're watching this on YouTube, I would love for you to support the channel. Just hit the join button down below and you're going to get exclusive perks that are only available to you as a YouTube member, such as 24-hour early access to all the clips and shorts for the show, custom emojis, and priority commenting. If you'd like to step up your membership even further, you can actually get a Supercast membership. You're going to get ad-free episodes, whether you watch or you listen to the show, early access to all of the full episodes 3 days in advance, and also exclusive members-only shows. All you need to do if you're interested and you want to start a 7-day free trial is head to thewordatwar.supercast.com or check the link in the description, and I would love for you to help support the show. Last, if you are listening to this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcast content, if you feel like I'm deserving of it, please consider leaving a 5-star review and also make sure that you follow the show. Thanks to each and every one of you for your support, and God bless.
Most people have never thought about having to give their life up I mean, a lot of people who go in these third world countries as missionaries, like they're killing over in Nigeria and stuff, like they have to stand up for their faith. That's a hard thing. If you've never had a gun up to your head and somebody telling you to do something and you know, either one or the other, you don't really know how terrible that situation is. But if you don't understand what scripture is saying, then you're going to get caught up in doing something that you were never meant to do. And, you know, I was thinking about the Tower of Babel and the fact that they were all mind, that it said they were all of one accord. Their minds were one accord. It's like the beehive. But you think about in the African days when they had the shaman. And they would do the drum beats, dun, 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 and they would do the walking around until they had them in a frenzy. They had them connected, and that's when the evil spirits would, you know, come into the body and inhabit itself. And if you think about the people who do like transcendental meditation and astral travel, and they sit in a yoga position, and what do? They make this, they are literally using a frequency to open up the pineal gland and allow the demon to come in as they are going out. It's not, you know, the thing I've always said, the Bible doesn't say this stuff is not true and not real. We know that when the Egyptians, when Moses and them were there, those Egyptians guys that were there with Pharaoh, they laid down their stakes and everything, and they turned into snakes just like Aaron's rod did. It doesn't say that it was fake snakes. It just says Aaron, when they laid down, and Moses laid down their rod, that it ate the other snakes. Clearly, like you mentioned earlier, Satan has got certain capability. And I tell you, if you study sacred alchemy and some of the stuff, and you practice that stuff, that black magic and witchcraft and all that, it has its own powers. That's why we break the curses and the strongholds. If we didn't have to worry about that, why would scripture even bring that up? So it's telling you that there is a power here that has a great capability of locking on to us. And to me, if you participate in things that allow you to go outside of your body, then something is waiting and trying to get back in there with you. And when you get that situation, you have a possession. You're not just oppressed. You have a possession of something that's within you. And clearly, Jesus had to cast those things out. And then his disciples, sometimes they couldn't. And they went to Jesus and said, "What's the deal? We can't get this out of them." And to me, the people who are in deliverance ministry and who are doing exorcisms right now, Kyle, they're saying that where they once could do them pretty simple, now the entities are so hard that they can't get them out of the bodies. And people are so engrossed into doing wrong. I mean, unfortunately, we hear this all the time. Well, I got saved when I was 12, so I'm saved and I have nothing to worry about. It's almost like they think it gave them the right to continue to sin, and they don't realize that every time you participate in sin, it's like speaking terrible words to that water, and it's becoming more jagged and jagged and jagged. And I tell you, if people are not reading the scriptures and understanding the scriptures, there's going to come a day when people like you and I are not going to be allowed to talk about this, because we know what is happening, and they know we know what's happening. And that's why we can't get on the nightly news and go, "Look, I can tell you this is what's going on," but They're not going to let it be known, because the powers that be, like you say, all answer to the bigger echelon who run the world. And they're not interested in national states and whatever. They're internationalists. And their goal is to control the world under a new world order, a new world religion, a new world economy with a beehive mind. And you are nothing but a player that they use for their benefit.
Right. 100%. You had touched upon some of those, you know, alternate, you know, ways of meditation and things like this. And I, you had said something earlier in the conversation, and I pulled this up, and then we kind of drifted away from it. So I didn't talk about it, but you brought us right back here. So I want to share this. This is about, you know, the idea of meditation and your chakras and all this junk, right?
Yes.
And ultimately, this is exactly about frequency. This is totally about frequency.
Totally.
The Sanskrit word for chakra means wheel or vortex.
That's
right. Refers to subtle gateways that allow universal energy to flow through our being. I'm reading this right off of a yoga site, okay?
That's right.
Each one represents a specific energy or energetic frequency from gross matter to spirit. As expressions of different levels of consciousness, they can be seen as stations on the spiritual journey and serve as a subtle map for understanding the human psyche. So you have all of these different chakras in a line of your body, right? And I'm probably going to butcher this, and Joy can correct me. Sahasrara, though often included in this list, is not technically a chakra. Rather, it represents transcendence or the abode of supreme consciousness. Ultimately, all of these things, all of the yoga and all of the things, it says right here on the site, this principle is summed up in the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below.
So below.
And as below, so above. And if any of you have ever got
That's
imagery
right.
of the Baphomet pointing up and pointing down,
down and
jackpot.
Down.
Oh,
my book, Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666, volumes 1 and 2, I talk about all of that, all the megalithic structures and everything on this planet and how it's connected to as above, so below. But that's the big thing in secret societies. I mean, it's absolutely a triangle within a triangle. It is amazing how it's been done, Kyle, right up under our noses and using people to make it happen. That's the thing about it. And they just weren't aware of how the actual manipulation is being done all the time. And now, instead of it having to be hidden knowledge, they're putting it right out in front of us and connecting us to it. And the thing about it is where, you know, we have gotten to the point that with the frequency, we have found out, like, if a person smokes marijuana, it what part of the brain it affects. Now you can stimulate that area of the brain using a frequency to make you feel like you just smoked marijuana. So you just start
Amazing.
Thinking, and if you have Neuralink in there and it's controlling stuff, they could be doing all kinds of things to your brain and giving you capability that we never dreamed. I know I wrote about, you know, binaural beats, where you can put a beat in this ear and a beat in this mm-hmm. ear, and it will cause a phantom beat in your head. Just, it's a way of making a Manchurian candidate. I mean, it's all these kind of things, the powers of suggestion and how your brain is literally capable of being utilized, and you will do whatever you're programmed to do. And see, that's the thing I could not get over when I was in college and I actually saw a hypnosis of my best friend
yeah.
that was sitting right next to me. And
yeah,
I'm going to tell you, when she got up and opened that door in a college classroom where you never open a door. And so the professor said, why did you just open the door? And she covered and said, it's hot in here. Literally, I'm like, you know, he said, all you got to do is tell someone under those conditions that there's a water pistol in the top drawer. And when your mama walks in, just spray her with that water. And if it's a 38, you're going to blow her away. I mean, it's playing mind games with things that it's so far advanced than what people could even know. So sometimes when you're just watching a TV show and you're listening to some music videos and they're talking ugly words and they got a certain beat, and I'm a musician, at 72 beats, you can put somebody in a room and keep that beat going at 72 beats, it will kill you. In other words, your body is like a tuning fork, and you start picking up that until you can't deal with it. It will absolutely kill you. I know because I play drums, if I go visit somebody in the hospital and they've got one of those machines and it's beeping like that, I just have to say, you got to turn that off, because
yeah,
I play to a beat, and I'm so aware of beats that it's a terrible thing. But this is how, over time, I've just seen this develop and develop to the point that we are now. And I'm like, guys, if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ before,
yeah.
please look at what's happening in the world, because the headlines and all that we've talked about tonight, it's like reading all the books in Scripture about prophecy about the
yeah.
end of days.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like a woman in travail
about,
where it starts out a little bit and it just gets worse until
yeah.
the baby's born.
Yeah, we're talking about this stuff for real. Like, you know, you can go read anything you want to pick out of Scripture. Like, we probably either talked about it tonight, or we could. You know, it's happening.
Right. It's
there
right
is
there.
Nothing left. I had a conversation. I don't even remember who it was. It's going to come out at some point. Obviously, I've had so many great conversations. I forget who says what sometimes. But this person said, you know, we have nothing left to check. I think it's actually Larry Ragland that's coming out this next week. He said, Kyle, if you really look, I asked him, you know, how long he thought we had left. And he said, Kyle, I don't think it's long because we have nothing left to check. Everything that we can read about in scripture is pretty much already there. It's just a matter of severity, right?
I mean, it's like the bow and no arrow with the guy riding the white horse in the apocalypse. We're not using, like I said, we're not using weaponry. We're using economics. Look how we're controlling the world right now. You don't like us? We'll put a tariff on you. And that tariff's
right.
going to cost you X amount of money. So we're doing everything economics. If we want to take over, what do? We use a 6G capability that knocks you down and makes you vomit and your nose bleeds and you fall out and maybe die. I mean, just look at what it's telling us that is coming. Like that. And then you've got the peace plan that's going right on along. And we're going to turn the Gaza Strip into a great little place. And economically, it's going to be this, this, and this. And we've got these boards and the people that are on them. I mean, literally, who would have dreamed that we would be establishing an Eastern Bloc and an Asian Bloc and that the Euphrates River would be drying up? I used to say, well, maybe because they built the Aswan Dam, you know, that was going to give us a way to get the kings of the East over there to get to Armageddon. And that kind of thing. It's not happening. Euphrates is drying up on his own. I mean, it's like all this stuff that is in scripture is happening right before our eyes. Who would ever thought you could take the world and do it in a situation where nobody could buy, sell, or trade? You take away the money right now and nobody can buy, sell, or trade. And you put it in cyberspace and you tell somebody you've got to be connected biologically to them. We never in our human history have ever been at a place that we are right now. We haven't got to wait 10 years. We don't even have to wait 5 years.
No, it's coming, man.
I just think sometimes the goals and objectives for 2030, that's a deadline. That's a deadline. And then we're getting closer to where they want us. Like, I mean, we are closely being there. And another thing is that we talk about what's on the earth, but just our potable water. We're getting to the point that we don't have clean water. Look at the air. I was looking at something that came across my desk. I think it was yesterday that I was just amazed. They had in Georgia, up in Atlanta, and also down in Daytona Beach, Florida, they had something called, and I had never paid attention, high levels of PM2.5, which are fine particle pollution. And they also put three other states, including Alabama and two other on somewhere else that I wasn't really paying attention to, but it was like five. But they were saying if you were outside, when you got those exposures, you could have respiratory issues, persistent coughing, sneezing, wheezing, runny nose, difficulty breathing, shortness of breath. And for people who had cardiovascular situations that would cause strain, chest pain, palpitations, increased heart risk, especially in those pre-existing conditions, eye irritation, burning nose, throat irritation, fatigue, headache, increased risk of respiratory infections, and it just went on and on and on.
Jeez.
Well, there was a thing a long time ago that I really worried about because I found out in the poultry industry when they want to kill like a whole group of them, they would put something in the air and it was like a foam and it would they would all suffocate. And I'm like, we know they're spraying the chemtrails in our air. And now so I started looking up in my area and it's in the moderate. It's been in the moderate since I started looking this up. And if you're outside, those particles, and it says clearly they're so fine that they travel deeply into the respiratory tract, reaching the lungs, and that you can't get rid of it once it builds up in your system. So I'm thinking, we're like the chickens that I read about, where I was like, oh my gosh, if they sprayed us with something and we breathed it, we would all just, boom, and we're done. We're done.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
And so now it's like, I'm kind of like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, you know, chemtrails. You guys are nuts. It's just contrails from planes. You're a bunch of loonies. And now it's like, yeah, we do it. It's like not even, it's like they tell us they do it, right? It's not even a question anymore.
That's right. And you can get pictures back, if you go outside.
Yeah, you get pictures. Yeah, you get it, right? And we even have bills now in certain states where we're putting legislation together that says they can't do it anymore. But, you know, is the damage already done? I don't know. Probably so. Who knows? But then, you know, Area 51, back when I was a kid, you know, it was like, you guys are a bunch of loonies. There's no such thing as Area 51. You're just a bunch of conspiracy theorists, wacko nut jobs. And then the technology got good enough where, like, they couldn't deny it anymore. And then they just finally come out and go, yeah, we've got it. We've had it for years. So what? And it's like this. It's like, whatever you think that people are crazy, if you hear something and you're like, "Dad, you're just nuts. That's just so far out there." Don't be so quick to dismiss it, because look what all these things, we can back up every single thing. I mean, goodness, we read straight from these websites earlier. The whole Manchurian candidate, Joy, was talking about, you don't think that's true, where they can train your brain just like the Winter Soldier to on command keywords trigger you, quote unquote. Okay, I encourage you to go to the CIA's website right now and pull up documents that they actually have released and FOIA. Freedom of Information Act. Go pull the documents. Our government doesn't hide it. They will tell you that they're doing it. So this is not make-believe stuff, guys. There were some kind of weird super soldiers that went down to Venezuela that used some kind of weird weapon to make these people hemorrhage blood and puke blood, man. I mean, this is happening. It's real. And if you are still just not convinced, I don't know what it's going to take. And I'm fearful for you, because you are, this is the beginning. I said earlier, if COVID is the 2 and what's coming is the 10, the deception right now is a 2 and what's coming is a 10.
That's right.
And if you are not hip to the 2, the 10 is going to totally roll you over. So if you're listening to this, please, please, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life over to the Lord, please don't be like I was for 40 years, living in the dark, pretending things didn't exist, just being sucked in by convenience and looking out for myself and being Christiana me instead of Christianity. If you need somebody to talk to, go to my website, fill out the contact form. You can email me directly, info@thewordatwarmedia.com. I will get back with you. I will call you. I will pray with you. Please, because the time is running short. We need to save as many people or get the information. It's your job to be saved. It's not our job to save you. It's our job to preach the gospel to all the nations. And that's what we're doing right now, because we're trying to wake you up to the truth of what is here and what is coming. And what is here is terrifying, and what is coming is even more so. So please, please, just my brothers and sisters, and those of you who are listening, maybe you've run away from God. I don't know what's happened in your life. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe things have happened in your life and you think God is responsible for that. It's always people that are responsible for things, guys. It's not God. God is waiting for you to come back to Him. So please, if any of this resonates with you, just please turn to this and lean into Christ. So my sister, would you pray for us, please? Would you pray us out?
Yes, I will. Kyle, thank you so much for letting me be on your show. I've enjoyed it so much tonight.
Absolutely.
Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word with the world. We pray that you would just bless each and every person that listens to this, that they will have the ability to go and speak to their family and their loved ones about your saving grace and the salvation that you offer, and that you will be able to protect them by your blood, Father. Whatever comes, that as long as we keep our eyes on you, Father, and you live within us, that the enemy has no power over us, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us. We thank you for all that you do. We just praise your name. We ask you to continue to bless this show, Father. I ask you to continue to bless the research that I am doing. And we just ask you, Lord, right now, again, for anyone that hears this podcast, that they will just come to know you, because we love you and we appreciate all the things that you do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. My sister, thank you so much for another great chat. I appreciate you being here.
I totally enjoyed it so much, Kyle. there's just so much. And I hope that we can get back together and do this again,
yes,
because
ma'am.
I think it was a lot more fun to go ahead and think about a lot of different areas.
Yeah,
people
so
need
much
to
truth.
Really wake up.
Amen.
And I
Boy,
pray they do, because
sure.
the greatest thing is the greatest asset is their soul. And that's
Amen.
What I worry about. Save your soul by turning to Jesus Christ. Turn your life over to him tonight or today.
Amen.
Or whenever you listen to this podcast.
Yep. And you can reach out to either of us. Go to Joy's website, find out more about her. She's got a contact form on there, drjoy.com. And that's Joy with an E. So you can check her out there. And again, info@thewordatwarmedia.com. If you're listening to this, there you go. It'll be down in the description. You can find out there. And then also, you know, I would love for you, if you're watching this, then you have it right on your screen and you can actually go right there where you need to go. But what else is on your screen is an invitation to the school community. One of the things that I have finally found with this show is I have found a wonderful community that is not algorithmically controlled. And that is one thing I would tell you guys is avoid social media like the plague. Get off social media. Stay away from it as much as you can, because it is designed to destroy your mind. They have tapped into the thing that drives us the most, which is anger and outrage, guys. Where go to the school community and you are not going to have that. So all you need to do, go to the website, thewordofwarmedia.com, and you can find out about the school community there. But I created the community for three reasons: to help support fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, for proper scriptural teaching, and to mentor new believers. And we need all three of those, because it is not happening right now in the church. So if you are feeling like you're walking in this battlefield alone, please do not feel that way and join the school community. I promise you, you're going to get all kinds of support. We had a call earlier today that went for an hour and a half. We've had some that go for 4 hours almost, just because we can have the Holy Spirit show up. And it's a lot of times places where people don't have a church that they're going to on Sunday. So if you're in that boat, there's a great community that's waiting for you. So please take advantage of that. My sister, thank you again so much. I appreciate you.
I love you, Kyle. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, ma'am.
God
all right,
bless
y'all.
You.
You too. Until next time, I bid you adieu. Take care.
Bye-bye.